And from all of us at ABC News, good night. I love Sam Donaldson. That was the dude, man. Him and Peter Jennings, those were the guys that I really, really. And Max Robinson. I have to throw Max in there.
Oh, Max. Bernie Shaw. Remember Bernie Shaw?
Yes. Bernie. And then, of course, Bill Bradley.
Oh, I mean, Ed Bradley. Ed Bradley.
Bill Bradley was the basketball player.
Tremendous.
But I say, yeah, New York Knicks, absolutely. Didn't he become a politician as well?
Senator, I think.
Well, one thing we're going to talk about this hour is the new wave of media, podcasting. Now, this station, we currently have two podcasts that are up and running. We have the Paper Rings podcast, which I know Ted is an avid listener of.
Paper Rings. Just teasing.
And then we also have another podcast, the BS podcast. Which is very, and you love these podcasts, and you're joining our podcast family very soon.
I would love to do that. And you know what? You guys have mentioned this to me for so long. That management reasons and publicists and all these people that are somewhat involved in my undertaking and so forth. Right now, to be honest with you, I wish my friend here had the time and everything and effort, David Jones here with Nikin and his muscle activation situation. I wish he could be my manager. I really do.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, this is going to be interesting because...
And I don't care if my current manager's listening.
We'll send this to him.
Yeah. I'll be living in Marion for the rest of my life.
In a nice Easter basket.
Happy Easter.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very interesting because Ted did a show on WWGH in the very beginning, and I'll tell an honest story about this. Well, here's what I say. No, this is what I want to say about that show. Because Ted came from the radio or the music world, DJ.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, well, that's what he'll probably do. And you came in and did this straight interview with this Hotel Rwanda person.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was one of the best interviews I'd ever heard. Yeah. And the fact that you have not done a talk show on radio is a crime. It's a crime.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's a crime.
Well, let's do a podcast.
We're doing
talk
it.
Podcast.
Well, it's done.
Okay,
we're doing
well,
it.
Great.
It's coming.
All right. What will we call it, though?
What will we call it?
GV? Golden Voice? No, that sounds too much like a VID.
Let's see if we get some. We have people out there listening. What should the Ted Williams podcast be called? And
yes,
you can guess.
The first caller that calls right now, I'm going to name it whatever you say.
Well, let's not give it to that. Well, they could say a lot of things. We don't need
They'll be like, call it Bullshit.
You know, here, the Paper Rings podcast I do with these... You've heard that one, haven't you, Terry? I do with these two other women, Michelle Whitaker. Yeah, well,
and Bailey Hunt.
No, not Bailey.
No.
No, Abby Froman. Abby. Oh, I thought forgot her name. She's listening. She'll get kicked off of me.
Okay.
Oh, I'll never hear about it. Ted, have you ever worked with somebody who was just... how do I say this on the nice terms of Easter... Combative. She's so combative all the time.
Yeah. You know, I had my weather person, well, my news person at WCKX 106.3 back in 1985. I played the Tonight Show's theme song. Every time she would come on, and she would really get pissed because she wanted one of those. And now here's a look at the news with such and such. She wanted one of those stingers, like, you know, one of those beds. But I always did it. And one day, she was on the other side of the glass in the control room. She was on the other side, and it was snowing. And I went and got a snowball. And I had the snowball here, and I said, "And now let's take a look at the news." What was her name? Cynthia Kane. I said, "Here's a look at the news with Cynthia Kane." And right when she went to the copy to read it, I threw the snowball, and she didn't realize. I mean, it took her a minute to realize that. Hey, there's glass between us. It's not going to hit me. She went. And now she screamed and everything. She thought this, and ever since then she was very combative. You know what I mean?
I could see how that might though make somebody a little combative.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happened with me and Abby? God bless her heart. The other morning she was on the air. You know, sometimes when you're doing radio and you start the show and you have people on, you don't really memorize their names because you know who they are.
Right.
And I was starting the show and I called her Ashley.
Oh, my God.
Now, is that really all that bad, Ted?
Yes. In radio, yes, absolutely. No, it wasn't that bad at all.
I
was thinking it was your wife and you called her Ashley.
No. Heavens, no.
Her name's Abby and you're calling her Ashley.
Yeah, I accidentally just said her name wrong.
One morning I woke up and asked Lisa, I mean, I've been with Kathy, as I mentioned, for over 25 years. And one morning I woke up and I said, Lisa, and Ooh. That's the mother of my children that I had way before the relationship with Kathy. Oh, my God, I didn't hear that.
But you were in the doghouse for a while there.
For real. She has COPD, and she was breathing another. I thought she was going to die of a heart attack. Why would you call?
We got to get you on the Paper Rings podcast with Abby and Michelle. Because, you know, maybe.
Hi, Abby.
Yep, hi, Michelle.
She's out there listening right now.
Hey, listen, Abby and Michelle Scott meant no harm. You realize the man's been with Donahue and Jackson and all of those people. Please forgive little Scott.
I think you should whip his back.
No, I just teased it.
It's Sybil there for a second. It's like yeah. Sally Field there for a second.
Hey, I tell you, it's all about that. Hey, listen, I want to say one thing to you. When we do the podcast, I must have something that the people can wear with my image on it, okay? So think
yes, yes, we're going to have T-shirts.
Nobody's going to call me. What about the guy who corrected us on the Congressional Medal of Honor?
There you go. See,
call back. I'll give you one of my new hats.
See, isn't that radio, though?
Yeah.
People will call in to correct you, but they won't call in to give you a title to a show.
Listen, when Scott Anthony and I were on the Golden Voice show there in Columbus, it had been 25 years to the day that I went back on the air at WVKO, and we were on. And every morning, I had books, I had everything. But I don't know whether it was because people aren't just getting into the 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. regimen or not, unless, of course, it's a popular syndicated show. But I was like, hey, listen, give me a call, 821-90. Well, we ditched the show. You know, I wasn't into it. I wasn't getting paid. It was pretty much like a podcast. However, everywhere I've went thereafter, people would say, Ted, what happened? I listen to your show every morning. When are you coming back? And I was like, you never called any of the mornings that I would be reaching for listeners and all. See, you're going to miss WWGH if you don't call in here and let us know that you're listening. First of all, just say, hi, this is Linda. I live on the east side of Marion, and I just want to say y'all doing a fairly decent job. Let us know. Or, hey, I don't believe what you said. Just like you said, the one person tweeted, said, Ted, on your relationship with Trump, I'm with you. You know, let us know. We're out here working today.
It's a weird world because calls used to be a big thing. I don't know if it's because everybody's got a cell phone now. I don't know if it's because texting has taken over.
Well, that's what it is. We're not on the contact list.
No, we're not on the contact
speed
list.
Dial or anything.
We don't get on the speed dial.
But let them say, right now I'm taking caller number one for $100. I bet you that bad boy would light up.
Yeah. Well, anytime we give away food. Yeah. Oh, if we give away food, they knock themselves out to get in
here. Oh, good, good.
And during the summer, we give away Zumbeezy Bay and Columbus Zoo tickets.
That's right.
So it's a big thing, but, you know, I don't know. This podcast is going to be interesting because you are a person who has things to say.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? If we do kick this off and we do get a name for the show, it would be my honor to be a part of the WWGH podcast family.
We'll just do whatever.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about Columbus like a dog. We'll talk about...
We've never had a problem filling time.
Yeah, no, none whatsoever.
No, and that's a great thing.
Yeah. Preparation is the key.
Preparation
And you is are a very... I have to... Listen, I've been around a lot of interviewers. I've seen a lot of people being interviewed. I enjoy television shows that are talk show where they interview Dick Cavett, number one, Johnny True, and David, and the list goes on. You are truly a accomplished, polished interviewer. I want to say that. That's why you talk to all these fine people from Mr. What is it, McFeely or whatever you call
it. Mr. McFeely, sure.
Yeah, from him to Sam Donaldson. Yeah, that's
and
a good
Phil one. Donahue.
Yeah, Phil Donahue. I mean, you are, and my boy who does the In a World. I mean, not In a World, but what's the guy that does
Law and Order?
Law and Order. Yeah.
Steve Zern-Kilton.
Yeah. Anybody that can interview those kind of people and keep their interest for 40 minutes or more, you got to be good. You got to be good.
Well, it's lucky.
No, that's preparation. That's skill,
You know the questions.
Here's a question for you, Scott.
Yeah.
The gentleman that from Law & Order, he's the voice. Has anyone ever revealed what exactly makes that sound effect they call the doink doink?
I don't know.
I've heard it referred to as the doink doink. I don't know if it's a gavel. What, you know what I'm saying?
I think it might be a gavel.
Well, But it's like the Law and Order sound effect, but I never heard it identified as to exactly what it is.
I think it might be a gavel. Is it a gavel, Terry?
Sounds right.
You know, I was never... I loved Steve Zern-Kilton, but I never really watched a whole lot of Law and Order. But we had a show one time with Ted. This is kind of reminiscent. This is what people should do on Easter. This is what families do together when they get together
Easter.
That's
right.
We did shows where Gary Owens, the late Gary Owens, called in. And
Gallagher,
Steve Zern-Kilton.
We
did shows with Mary Ellen Withrow.
Yes, I love Mary Ellen Withrow.
Can you imagine us over at the root beer stand doing a show with Ted in that jacket?
I would. Yeah. In case you're wondering what he's referencing to, I have on a Liberace lookalike. You know. I love it, man. It is glittering all over the place.
Sequins.
I'm definitely sequins. That's it.
Red with sequins all over it.
I look fabulous.
Van
I like
Leer.
Oh.
The Van Leer Company.
But Michelle, over at Stewart's root beer stand, I want you to know I thank you for your sponsorships, and I look forward to working with you. And hopefully the COVID 19 will be over with, and well, not necessarily over with, but those that are recovered. Because somebody also made the comment that, I think it was you, Scott, that said you heard it on Dr. Oz, that Dr. Oz is talking about how everybody is so worried about the people who are affected and who's dying and all that, but nobody never says nothing about the people who recover from it and who have recovered from it.
I had somebody on last week who recovered from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to talk to those people.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to the good sides of things and how medicines are progressing and we're putting an urgency, not stealing ventilators out of one hospital to run it to another one or taking ventilators out of the prisons and taking them over to hospitals. The media in some aspect... Hello, Donald. Is this Donald?
No.
But... Mr. Trump is going to send somebody over a secret serviceman. But, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, the people that recover from it. You know, my mother had respiratory illnesses, and I know there are high-risk groups of people that are, you know, affected by this. But let's give the I always say this. Let's give the medical staff the accolades that they deserve. Thank you for your service.
Would the criteria fit them to give them that medal?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of medical professionals and a lot of our educational staffs that are on the front lines every day, and we never as a people or we never as a human being would like to say to them, thank you for your service. Our public servants, our social workers, they need a thank you for your service. So the next time, Marion, you happen to see a policeman or a fireman or you see a teacher or you see a social worker or any or a nurse or anything, just look at them and say, thank you for your service. It might bring a little bit of a, huh? But at the same time, they'll understand. Those people need a thank you for your service. Our military, truly, thank you for your service. That will continue through the end of time. David, I have to say one thing to you as your brother. You have meant to me more than life itself sometimes. You've helped me out of many predicaments and you've bailed me out of many situations. But you have a muscle activation thing. I have to tell you this too, Scott. Not only did he turn us on to this water, but he has a therapy for people who have See, I hate talking about it because it makes me so excited. I don't know what words to use. But I had an imbalanced walk, and he did something to me that to this day I can run. I'm 62 years old, and I can run in something that normally would affect my balance. And that's what the name of his thing is, Living in Balance. Tell me, what was that process you did by resetting my pelvis or whatever it did?
It's a technique that's actually quite simple. It's done on a massage table, and whoever the person on the table is, they actually reset their own pelvis. But I've learned the technique of what position to put them in and how to apply the technique. And I learned it a little over a year ago. I was a personal trainer for almost 15 years, and I had another trainer come up to me and say, I know how much you love learning about the human body. I'm going to share something with you that I think you'll get really excited about. I actually had two trainers say that to me at different times. One introduced me to the company called Nikan that Ted has referenced, and the other introduced me to what's called MAT, muscle activation techniques. Using range of motion on a massage table, I'll be able to find where you have muscle imbalances, muscles that are not firing properly, and get them corrected with 6-second isometrics. And it's for I've worked on professional athletes. I've worked on just recently. I worked on an 87-year-old woman that had a hip replacement.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And believe it or not, we tend to think of arthritis as an old person's disease. I worked on a 7-year-old girl whose doctors were telling her she had arthritis. 7 years old. She's not even at puberty age yet, and she's being told, well, in what we call the quads, your thigh area, it's four muscles that make up, hence the word quads. It's four muscles that make up your thigh area. Well, two of those four were not firing on this young girl. So 50% of her quads were not working properly. That's why she was having knee pain. I found the two that were off, corrected them, and she went from limping to running up and down the stairs and said she was pain-free.
Mm. But I couldn't even walk across the parking lot and ended up running.
But I've added this pelvic reset to my sessions I was already doing, and my results have even gone, you know, several notches higher. And it's really rewarding and really cool to be able to help somebody get relief that they weren't getting with other more traditional therapies.
Mm. Well, you know, the human body is fascinating.
Very.
But did you ever find this when you were a personal trainer? Because we had this discussion on the air, a little bit of a trivial conversation, but it was a conversation we had, that don't you think a lot of people go to the gym to date, to find, I mean, honest to goodness, I think that's what goes on at the gym.
For a lot of people, yes. I mean,
See,
a lot of people, I've heard gyms referenced as quote-unquote meat markets.
Meat markets.
Well, when, you know, in both sexes, men, women, whatever. But I, you know, when you're putting your workout clothes,
I want to go to the meat market
and get a T-bone steak.
Yes.
But when you're going to work out, but you're also, I mean, the eyelashes are done and the makeup is done. It's like, okay, what statement are you really making? Well, if you're about to be sweating, does the makeup and the eyes, that do they really need to be that done, you know?
Well, what is all the provocative clothing that people wear at the gym? What is that all about?
Gone are the days of Jack LaLanne.
Yeah, I interviewed Jack LaLanne. Yes, I did. I interviewed Jack LaLanne.
I bet that was it. Did he wear you out?
He did. He was very exhausting, Jack LaLanne.
Did he drop down and do push-ups and sit-ups?
You know, I remember Jack LaLanne was interesting to me because he had something like he had pulled a barge in an ocean on his back or something. He was a fascinating man.
Oh, sure.
I was just telling David, we were just jokingly speaking, I said, gone are the days of Jack LaLanne and Busta Crab and, you know, those guys.
Johnny Weissmuller.
Tarzan.
Who was the guy that used to eat bark, tree bark? Anything that he could survive off of. He was a naturalist. Like, he could
eat anything.
So talking about Grizzly Adams.
Yul Brynner?
Yeah, was he a...
Yeah, I think he might have been.
Yeah.
He was a little funny himself.
But they did have a Yul Gibbons, didn't they?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That guy, they said, could eat tree bark.
Isn't that something? That people can do crazy things. What was that guy, Danny Hodge? They say could squish an apple in his hand. I mean, that's insane.
Well, I can swallow my tongue.
Can you? That's good.
Yeah,
that's
you
interesting.
Ever seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
From a distance, real quick.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who's that?
That's talent.
It's the back of my thing.
See, people don't realize what's going on.
Yeah, the tricks of the trade.
The tricks of the trade. The tricks of radio.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever done any acting?
No. No, but actually, I did in a movie called The Game Done Changed, and it was it's an independent film, and I played, I did a cameo. It was myself interviewing a gang leader from the area. It was like a East Coast, West Coast gang war, and I interviewed the guy who was supposed to be, quote-unquote, like a Tupac, who was naming people and all of that kind of stuff.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called The Game Done Change. Remember I had that shirt on? It was a promo. There's a university. What's the name of that campus by OSU? It's a new movie theater. It's like a mall.
Easton. Or not, no, Lenox. Lenox Town Center.
No. The one that's right on High Street, and it's called the Walkway or the Galleyway, right by Eddie George's place. It's an alley. And
Gateway.
There you go.
Campus
Gateway Theater.
Yeah.
We had a, what do they call a premiere there? Yeah.
Now, when was this?
This was in 2000, 16, 17.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to see this movie.
Yeah, it's called The Game Done Changed.
The Game Done... Who's the star? You were the star. That's
well,
all.
Yeah, let's just say that you know the recognize who's the most recognized, and it was me. But these were a lot of local actors, some of which were had SAG and after.
Now, would you ever want to do like a stage show?
I was thinking that, Scott. This is no lie. I was thinking about. Did you see the Mike Tyson one?
I did.
Okay, I wanted to do something like that, and talk about how from day one. I was, you know, what it was like and what people may have thought went on. And just give them the day-by-day account of how people robbed me. You know, not literally. I'm talking about naming names, just like Mike named, what was
Don King
and all of that as being. I got some names I can throw out there, and I wouldn't care if they tried to libel me or anything because people just think automatically. I had a lady a couple days ago. You a millionaire now. What you doing out here signing pictures? I said, who told you I was a millionaire? I know. My daughter looked up your net worth. You're worth $500. I almost sound like Eddie Murphy as the grandmother in the Clumps. I know how much you make. I was like appalled. She said, and then I said, ma'am, you wouldn't believe some of the lawsuits that I did for signing. All bull crap. I know you got money. I don't want none of them pictures you signing.
I said, well,
why didn't you just move on?
Yeah.
That's people for you.
That's people for you.
That's people
they
for you.
Like,
get that dig in.
Yeah. She said, you look nice. That's as she was leaving, she said, you look nice.
At least she ended on a positive.
Yeah,
I wish I could remember the actor that told me, but it was basically the best story about fame that I ever heard. And gosh, I think, was it Ed Asner or one of them? But the story is you don't have to know the actor, but it was a famous actor, uh-huh. And he was getting ready to go out on stage, and somehow this woman, he didn't know if she was a cleaning woman, but somehow she's backstage,
uh-huh.
And she walks up to him, and she says, oh my, I'm your biggest fan, I've loved you and everything you've done, you're the best, could I put my son's on the phone, could I please call him up and you talk, could I get an autograph, anything? And he said, I have to go out here, I can't do this right now, and without skipping a bit, she said, I hope you die of cancer.
I've had some of those, not die of cancer, but I've had, you ain't all that damn famous. And I was at the airport, and I was running to catch a plane, and the lady said, excuse me, are you the man with the, you know, yes, ma'am, can I take a picture? I said, honey, I'm about to miss this flight. You ain't all that damn famous, go ahead.
See, there you go.
Like that, yeah.
That's it. Famous fleeting, as they say.
Yeah, oh, man, she, yeah.
In the moment.
So I try to oblige as much as I can, you know. I have to say a lot of people have been very, very hospitable and generous, and for whatever my purpose is with this this divine blessing of being deemed as being the golden voice, the man with the golden voice, I want to say I try to live up to it as best I can with charities and I know my purpose is to give back. My purpose also is to let people see that God, of my understanding, is still alive and he's still in the works of miracles.
You know. Did you like the who called you the golden voice first?
I think Doral.
Doral did?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
You know, what it does is compares me to so many other great golden voices because I love Ving Rhames. We have the meat. You know, I love Whitney Houston was a golden voice. What's the guy that does Danny Glover, but what's the other guy that Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman.
I love Morgan Tenere.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. This is CNN.
Mr. Attenborough. David Attenborough. I love the way he narrates and the guy that does Forensic Files. I love him. And you know, so there's many golden voices. Of course, James Earl Jones and of course the God of all, Mr. What was his name? You know who I'm talking about. The voice in the world.
I know.
And I met his wife. Come on. He is the God of voices. He does rated R under 17, not admitted.
What is his name?
You know, as we think about this name, you had one of the best ideas before he passed away about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Tell that story. That's a good story. At the height of your popularity with Don Pardo. Yeah.
Live from New York.
Remember this?
Yeah.
You pitched them an idea? about you and Don Paul.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm knocking on doors.
Yes, yeah,
that's good. I have to go remember that.
No, that's a good story.
But that was a good story, yeah. Oh, man, I ought to keep that, yeah.
That's a good, for your one-person show, that would have been a good story.
Live from New York. It's Saturday night. I remember that.
Yeah.
Gene, Mike. Oh, no. It was the cast of Saturday Night Live, and what's the guy's name who does it? Don Pardo. Don Pardo had passed away.
Right.
So the crew is all standing around, the new players on Saturday Night Live, they're all standing around, and so they're talking amongst themselves, who could they get to replace Don Pardo? So I happen to be walking down, and so they want to pitch me to Gene Mike.
Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, Lorne Michaels. Lorne doesn't have no clue as to who the hell I am, and he denies them the opportunity. So then they all decide that they were all deciding to like walk on Lorne and everything, and then finally I come out and say, live from New York, it's Saturday night. You know, that kind of thing.
And it would have been great.
Oh, that would have been great. Awesome. Yeah, I remember.
Tremendous. Now, your goodbye on radio is so brilliant. It's so
much
fun.
Are we at that time?
Yeah, no. Not yet, but we're going to do it at the end.
Oh, okay.
But did you ever have any other spiels that you did like that?
Well, I would always say, weather-wise, from the weather guys, sunshine today, highs. I did one of those kind of things, or I'm going to take two steps to the rear. Get on out of here.
What was your show prep like? When you were on 5 days a week, how did you decide what you were going to do when you got there in the morning?
You know, Scott, I know this is going to sound a little messed up for me to say. I was an alcoholic, like as you well know, and you've seen firsthand, a lot of people in the broadcasting business have some type of vice, whether it's cigarettes, chain smoking, alcoholism, and all of those things. So I was an alcoholic, and so a lot of times I had to open up my mic. Our minister would go, our church programming would go off at about 2 minutes before 6, and I ran a top of the hour ID that would go from the Miracle Station, WCKX London Columbus, with the best in urban music. It's the Ted, it would say Williams Show, but I spliced a segment of Teddy Pendergrass and Stephanie Mills, and there was a record called Field of Fire. And in that portion, she would be pleading to Teddy, where she would say, "Teddy, Teddy, Teddy," in the crescendo part of the song. So I spliced those two together, and it would say, "From the Miracle Station, WCKX, London, Columbus, with the best in urban music, it's the Ted, Teddy, Teddy, Williams Show." So once that went off, my top of the hour record would hit, of course. After that, my program director or my general manager would know if I was drunk, sleep, or whatever, if they would not hear me say, because that record would usually last about maybe 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 36 seconds or whatever. They would know if I was asleep if I didn't say, "Hey, it's 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good morning, Columbus. You know, Ted Williams with you. We've got a lot of great music coming up, but right now here's One Way with that," you know. But there were times 20 minutes after the hour, they hadn't even heard a time, temperature, or nothing. And then I'd be like, "Hey, Ted Williams with you. Good morning, Columbus." Where I done had a bad hangover or something. So what my show in prep would be hit that first and let the manager and the program director and everybody know that you're alive. And then after that, I'd like kick back and, you know, next record.
If they were going to do a movie of your life, they would have to be those early days in radio. What was the best day you ever had, and what was the worst?
The best day was when I first opened up my microphone at WVOE in Chadburn, North Carolina. That was the first that I thought. Well, that was the first day. The best day of my radio career was because I thought that a world was listening to me. You know what I mean? I'd already been on the AFKN, the American Forces Korean Network, overseas in South Korea, Wee Jong-bu. And so I said that to say this, that when I opened up that mic, I thought the whole world. So when I got on, I was so excited, thinking that the world was listening to me, that I would talk like, "Hi, this is Brother T, baby, and I'm listening, and you're listening to nothing but the best music." And I'd be patting my feet and everything. When somebody called me and said, "Listen, think of yourself as only entertaining one." And that's when my personality became one, because I was trying to think that I had to sound like this and I had to do this and do that.
And the worst day in my life was when, you know that great spiel that I do at the end of every episode? I just started smoking crack cocaine. It was the demise of my radio career, or where I didn't care about being on the radio anymore and didn't care whether people liked me or not. I took a hit of crack, you know, smoked it in my pipe, and looked down at the record, and the record was like 5 seconds from being over, and I had to get on there and do Ordinarily. Hey, that's going to do it for me. It's certainly been fun, but oh, I got on the air, and I was spooked. I was nervous, and I said, that's it for me. Bye-bye. Mm. That was the worst day. And when I did that and said bye-bye, I took the headphones off, and you could hear the stomping of people running from upstairs, running down to the control room to see if I dropped dead.
Really?
And this is the only look I could give them. Looking like a, what do they call, a deer who's just been struck by headlights. I was like, and they said, are you all right, Ted? Ted. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. It was the first time I smoked crack in a professional set, you know, at my job. It was like working at the BMV and saying, next, you know, that kind of thing.
What was your first day on air, ever?
Ever?
Ever.
Military?
Yeah, professional radio.
Oh, professional radio. April of 1978.
1978.
Yeah.
So it's been 42 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Does it seem like 42 years?
No. I have to say again, and I always reference my buddy David Jones, and Dave, I want you to give them, if you're interested in the water or whatever, Dave's going to give you his website or his email address, but I'm always referencing things to him. He has kept me grounded, very much so. He complains about when I'm eating, I don't eat with my mouth closed, or I talk while I'm eating. You know, he tells me that my hair looks like a mess, or the barber didn't cut it right. He's a very, very attentive brother that I will always have in my life, and whatever I can do. I think God, you know, puts people together just like he put me with you. God has a reason for putting people together.
You know, Ted, I remember we've talked so many times over the years, and it's been great, and it will continue on.
Almost
but,
brought me to a tear.
Oh, that's good. But, you know, what after the golden voice and the great moments of that, there have been some down times.
Oh, yeah.
What was the worst point since the fame?
The worst point since the fame is that I didn't get a chance to collect on a book advance from the publishing company. That was $375,000. And that was only 2 months after I went on the Dr. Phil show. I had when I came out of treatment, I was supposed to collect a check. 4 installments of $93,000. Totals $375,000. Instead, I came out of treatment, which would have had anybody to relapse. I had a $75,000 lawsuit as soon as I got out. I had to sign that off. Then I ended up buying a condominium in Dublin, and then 3 cars, and before long, all that money was gone. And it went to one lawyer, which I'm not going to name, Brett Adams. And
I remember Brett.
Yeah, Brett. Man, you know what? I go through a very, listen. I'm not going to, Dr. Phil made sure he's shown every conceivable mugshot that I've ever taken down at the Franklin County Jail. Every. And for that reason alone, I know that I was expecting karma because I deprived businesses. Never broke in nobody's house, never did nothing to nobody individually, hurt my family, hurt others, and hurt myself. But I expected karma, but not to come in the way that it came, because this man was a jet-setting man. He was a very prominent attorney for a lot of sports figures, Chris Spielman. No, but he and more and many more. He also had what's the guy that went to jail? The quarterback for Art Schleister. Mm-hmm. He represented some fantastic people. Who now Chris, of course, and his lovely wife and Stephanie and all of that. He's a great guy. I love Chris Spielman. He couldn't have represented a better person. But he also represented George Karl of the Denver Nuggets. He's also misappropriated money for a lot of people. I'm not here to bash you, Brett. So take off the things. he has told me one thing: when you leave me, you'll never be nothing. Mm. That was his final words when I kicked.
What I'm thinking about,
but that was my worst time, losing $375,000 to one man.
When fame comes to you like that, when one morning, you know, nobody knows your name, and the next morning everybody does, and yeah. then you go through all this time and all these things that have happened, emotionally, what does that do to you?
It wrecked my nerves. That is a great analogy, and I tell people that all the time. Imagine, January 3rd, 2011, I'm broke, I'm living under Cruise Stadium, not knowing where my next meal is coming from, where I'm going to lay my head. And on January 4th, I'm on the Today Show with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira. I thought I'd died and went to heaven. I couldn't believe it. And then, but see, here's the trick. I thought by Dave and Jimmy inviting me down there was just going to be, hi, you know, I didn't know nothing about. It was every news organization in the world. CNN, I mean, the list goes on. I've got Inside Edition. I've got Entertainment Tonight. If my only perception of what they were trying to tell me about was that the viral video was going to say, hey, I'm a hometown favorite, and I hit the news. I didn't think the Today Show with Matt Lauer and everybody was going to invite me to their show. I didn't think I was going to run across town over to Good Morning America with Robin Roberts and Mr. Stephanopoulos. I didn't think that I would be on the CBS Morning Show. I didn't think that I would be on the Dr. Phil Show. You know, it was just, what in the hell? Viral video. Again, my thoughts of viral was that I created a glitch in the computer systems, but the only thing to my defense was, I don't know how to work no computer, so I knew darn good and well I couldn't have did that, Your Honor. You know, I'm thinking, like, if I do go to jail, if I do go down here to this Dave and Jimmy, and it's a setup or a sting operation where they're trying to get me for back child support, the only thing I can do is tell them I didn't do nothing. I didn't film myself. I didn't load nothing. I didn't know anything about YouTube. Certainly didn't know very little about the internet, as you can see.
Well, it's interesting to hear this, because I think of people, especially like Robin Williams, who had tremendous amounts of fame and then commits suicide horribly. But can you understand how that could happen?
Yes and no. Bipolar and mental depression or clinical depression. I suffer from that very much. And you know how I do. I isolate and go right to bed and don't wake up, and wouldn't care if I did wake up or not, because there's a lot of demanding situations that went on. Of course, debts that I have become, have acquired as a result of this fame. I've got people who think I am a millionaire, you know, walk around, and sometimes I just get so depressed. You know, I gave my car to my daughter, hoping to help her out and then do without, and she ends up selling it for, you know, for whatever reasons. So I there's a lot of reasons, but it was still no reason for me to go back to drugs and alcohol.
Depression. A lot of people suffer with this.
Yes.
It's very common. What? How do you describe it?
I describe it as just getting lost in your thoughts and not having nothing prioritized, cared about, just blankly thinking. You know, your mind is there, but you don't care what the thought process of thinking about things. You don't want to talk to nobody. You know, you'd rather isolate. Kids aren't first and foremost. You don't care what your mother thinks. And you just want to go to sleep. You want to anesthetize it, you know, take a sleeping pill. In my case, I do have Trazodone.
How do you overcome it? How do you come out of that shell?
You're alive, wake up, you know, just like I do with the coronavirus thing. I'm alive, Lord, and I don't have the coronavirus, and I'm here at the Scott Spears Show. I didn't really want to come, but I had to.
But that's a good plug. Get that. We'll put that out there as a spot.
That's for my new podcast. I really don't want to listen, but I'm going to listen.
I'm showing up anyway.
Yeah, you just have to show up. That's right. Show up in yourself.
Do you feel better once you show up?
Yes, as time goes on, yes.
It's just getting there.
Yes, getting there, you know. And that's it. That's depression, when you don't feel like getting dressed, you don't want to get out the bed, and you're watching reruns of Bewitched.
The Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
And that's really in bad shape.
Yeah.
What's the big lesson you've learned? Easter's a good time to talk about it. What's the lesson you've learned from all this?
I've learned that we are serving a living God. I learned that God puts people in our paths, in our lives, to give us relationships to build on. You got to be careful of who those relationships and people are. Friends are far and few. My mother always told me, love many, trust few. Always paddle your own canoe.
What's the biggest misconception about you?
That I'm gay? No, I'm just teasing.
I hadn't heard that one. But
no, because you know what? I have had friends of mine try to hook me up with girls. Oh, man, that girl really likes you, man. And I'm thinking all along, either A, she's going to get me there and say I made an inappropriate gesture to her and try to sue me for sexual harassment or something, or B, she just likes me because she thinks I can go, baby, I love you.
They're, you know,
that kind of thing.
Very white.
Very white.
I was just going to say,
white.
Another voice.
Another
very,
white voice.
Very white.
So
very white.
I kind of back off of it. So when I back off the idea of it, Ted, are you gay?
Oh, is that what you get?
Yeah. Ted, well, I mean, you know, Brett Adams used to call me gay all the time. He used to have stewardesses, everybody dropping their numbers in my laps, but I thought it was their way of suing me so that they could split the money. As soon as he gets in the hotel room, take off your clothes and then say he did it. You know, anything. So I just back off because I got one woman and I just haven't met anybody that could take her place in terms of nagging and all. You can only take nagging and stuff from one person. I don't want to get in another relationship. It's cheaper to keep Kathy, and I don't want to go through no more nagging. But primarily, people try to hook me up, and then because I deny it, I'm gay. You know, and if I was, so what?
There you go. It's a different world now.
That's right. I love me some gay people. They know how to have fun. You don't find no broke gay people. And I go down to the, what's the name of that place? The Union. I get treated like I'm Donna Summer or Elton John or you know, the list goes on. I love gay people. I do. I'm not homophobic and whatsoever. If you feel me. Only thing I don't understand about gay is the transsexuals. Now, you know, that's the only thing I don't think about. I mean, do you have an organ part that you just don't need, and so you say, "Well, there you go. See you later. I don't need you anymore."
We can bring a doctor on and try to figure that out.
Yeah,
I don't know how that all works.
I mean, you know, being gay is one thing, and your lifestyle and all that and everything, but to cut off organ parts and, you know, what? I don't need that. Give that to the kid.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
And I.
It's a different world.
Oh, there's
than where you come from. Yes, it is.
Now, do you remember the Carol Burnett sign off?
I'm so glad we had this time together. I'm so glad we had this time together.
I was trying to think.
I was getting ready to say thanks for the memory.
There you go.
Don't know that one either.
There have been some great goodbye songs. You know, Bob Hope did a great goodbye song.
Yeah, that was
interesting. David, what do people need to know most about what you do? What's the most important bit of information?
Yeah, and give them the website or the email.
To put it in a nutshell, my business is called Live in Balance, and I came up with that name because the two things that, if you asked anybody, you know, no matter where they are, you know, young, old, whatever, rich, poor, in between, the two things most people would tell you they want out of life are the healthiest body possible. The healthiest body possible and the happiest and most successful life possible. The key to getting those two things is balance. So what I do is I show people how to have balance in your body and balance in your life.
Perfect. Ted, it's time for the goodbye.
First of all, I just kissed Terry on the top of the head.
I
just left a pepperoni.
I'll tell you what.
About 6 feet away, and social space.
And Terry can't stop thinking about it. It's a whole thing.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
Ready. Here it is.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of our service mission till we return tomorrow afternoon or in Scott's case, tomorrow morning. Brother man, sister too, if you can, be nice to someone short. Because you never know when someone short has to be nice to you. In the meantime, if you're driving on the highways and the byways, or if you're in the street on your feet, do remember to take it with care to get there. Brother man, I love you. God bless you, Marion, Ohio. I'm taking two steps to the rear, and I'm exiting out of here. God bless you. Scott, happy Easter. Terry, I love you. And David, you know I love you. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Happy Easter. The good man with the golden voice, the one and only.
W-G-H. Hey, Michelle, I'm still coming over to Stewart's now.
Ted Williams, golden voice himself. Stay tuned. To legendary talk show host Phil Donahue.
Murray O'Hare, the most woman in America who took prayer out of public school. You know, we had a wonderful, wonderful odyssey there. I would wish it on anybody that I love. This was a fabulous thing that happened to me. 29 years, and imagine what happened during those times. And we talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody. And, you know, I'll just never forget it. I'm glad it happened. I feel blessed.
Do you ever think of an epitaph?
Yeah, I have. A couple of them would be, here lies Billy Dunnistan. The other one I think might be good is the caller there.
Lady of stand-up comp, Phyllis Diller.